number 21A of 2015, which seeks to amend a section of the amendment bill, which was, as it was tabled before this portfolio committee in September last year. And of course, we have our presentation on the screen. Can I just ask you, Madam Speaker, to you those documents with the number? Thank you very much. Briefly, I would want to say the members of the portfolio committee on this bill. It's a bill of deals with the object of the bill, the presentation. It is a renewal of the term of a commissioner. It also deals with the issue of appointment of a commissioner in the absence of a chairperson effective. In terms of its object, the bill seeks to amend the Public Service Commission Act of 1997 in order to ensure efficiency and technology with regard to the close of renewal of the term of the Public Commissioner before it expires. The second aspect of the bill provides for continuity in the CSC with respect to the return of commissioners with experience and with regard to the execution of the CSC's mandate. And the third aspect, of course, that we have mentioned is the one that is with the question of appointment of an acting chairperson, the absence of the chairperson, and the deputy. On the renewal of the term, although the Constitution provides for the renewal of the term of the Commission and the Public Service Commission Act does not provide for such a process, the Act only provides for the appointment of commissioners and the actions to be taken by the President when he is required to appoint a commissioner. In practice, at the expiry of the initial 5 years of office of a commissioner, the post becomes vacant and the process is described in Section 4 is actually followed by Parliament. And therefore, there is now a proposed insertion to Section 5, which requires basically that the President may, and emphasis on may, as contemplated in Section 196(10) of the Constitution, and within 90 days for the expiry of a commissioner, renew the term of that commissioner for one additional term only. In the case of a national commissioner who has been approved by the National Assembly, after consultation with the National Assembly, in the case of a commissioner nominated by the Premier in the province, after consultation with the provincial legislature. So that is amendment that the President may or may not renew after the consultation that are necessary with those two legislatures. The second amendment that deals basically with the appointment of a commissioner to act in the absence of a chair deputy. This is that in temporary cases of absence of a chair deputy, the proposal has been that earlier there was a proposal that was the earlier which was not also in favor with the commission. We are not in favor with the portfolio committee, and therefore, that's why you find as an amendment to the amendment bill. So the earlier proposal involved chairperson of the commission, involved the chairperson of the board, commissioners getting involved in an election appointment. They're not in favor with the committee. So the simple chairperson's proposal now is that since the president dismissed the chairperson and deputy by parity of reasoning and interpretation, the ritual power to appoint an acting chairperson should reside in the president. And since that is not stated clearly in the law, it is now being stated clearly. I say if the chairperson and deputy are both absent for any reason, the president may appoint one of the certain commissioners to act as the chairperson. That is, so those are the two amendments that were taken before the committee.
We wait for the next. property, you are going to start into the property. Because it's 16, so it still has to be presented as NCOC as well. I don't know if the procedure, do you have to go this way back or just for the time when it is protected then? I don't know. How does it work?
It depends if the public says for the department has already exhausted his property, and if they are very good, remember last year the bill was referred to Parliament and it was not withdrawn. So it means that from here the committee agrees with the proposal, then what we need to do is to then advertise to call the public hearings and to the amendments to the act, and then now the act that should be done by the committee. If the public service commission and department they are filing the amendment, then let the committee be satisfied with the amendment made on the bill.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I just ask a question? Mr. Turkey, we now have an amendment on the amendment board. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Have an amendment, this one. It's a D31A on the original amendment board, which is D50. May I ask us, who is the owner? Has this gone through the whole process in terms of cabinet, etc.? Thank you. Now, Chief, can I just ask, because I'm seeing a bizarre situation playing out. It's not if the position of chairperson and deputy chairperson is vacant, it is when they are absent. Then the president, in terms of this amendment, may designate one commissioner to act as the chairperson of the commission. Some 2 months ago, my parents had to fly in from Bloemfontein, and their flight was delayed by 5 hours. I imagine the Public Service Commission meeting for a scheduled meeting. The chairperson's flight is delayed. The position of the chair is vacant. Are we now going to phone the president? Say, president, please, we cannot continue with our meeting because we don't have the chairperson here. Will you please designate the chairperson for the Public Service Commission so that we can start with our meeting? Because it seems to me that is the only option. With the First Amendment Bill, we had the option where the chairperson could phone and say, I'm going to be late, please I designate Mr. Tazami or whoever, other commissioner, to please act as the chairperson until I can arrive. This now falls away. That option is now no longer there. The phone call now needs to be to number one, to say, please designate somebody so that we can meet today and have a chairperson. The chairperson could be in a car accident on his way to the meeting. Now the Public Service Commission hasn't even got the powers to among themselves elect a chair just for that meeting, so that the meeting can continue. What are the plans that we got? What has been the thinking to overcome situations like that? We have been in a situation where we've been waiting for months for the president to designate a chairperson to this commission. It has been really a long time when the commission has not had either a deputy or a chairperson, and we were waiting for the president. Now we're going to have a recurrence of that kind of situation. And my impression was that this amendment bill was to alleviate that kind of situation until the president can designate. Let's just be able to make an interim plan so that we can continue and so that the functionality of this Public Service Commission is not negatively affected. If somebody would please just tell me what will happen now. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And on the other issue, the renewal of the term of a commissioner. My concern is simply with the after consultation with the National Assembly, which is a very broad term. So I assume that what would happen would be that a recommendation would come, or the President's indication that he wishes to renew the term of the commissioner would come to, I don't know, the committee, and then I presume to the National Assembly itself.
But there's no requirement for a recommendation to the bidders that the term indeed be renewed. And so is that understood legally, I'm asking, is it legally understood? Ultimately, I would like to see it included after consultation with and on the recommendation of the National Assembly. But at this stage, I'd like to understand whether it's legally understood and implicit. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Shepherdson. Now, my question firstly on this one, the amendment, to the amendment. Firstly, I need definitions of this because you might understand it very wrongly and say it's correct or it is not. What's this definition of this absent? Is it absent for today or is it absent for a year or 3 months or what's the definition of that absent? And secondly, in the first one, it says within 90 days before the expiry of the term. I think now we are putting a number of days in the existing, in line with the Constitution. In 90 days before the expiry of the term of office, the renewal, then the president can... But then the president can designate then a person to act. How long should that person act? Because we don't want to find ourselves in a situation where we say the person has acted far too long and therefore that person must be now appointed. Because according to the labor laws, there is a certain period where people can act and they cannot exceed certain period of acting. And here it is not that how long should a person act before the National Assembly goes through the process of appointing and then the president finalizes the appointment. That is my two questions.
Thank you, Chair. Just
want
to summarize this one very quickly because I'm addressing it in the on a day-to-day basis. So when the president, when the chair has indicated that he will not be a deputy, and the deputy is now a deputy, and the deputy for some reason has his house on fire, but for peace. Do we then call the president when the other members are in a meeting already? They're sitting there and two guys understand, and we say the meeting can't go on because this is my understanding of this amendment. Please clarify that.
No, I think, you know, this act has got a lot of vary with practices that are related to the Constitution. And it answered a lot of, it created a lot of tension, you see, which is going to be a little bit of a big challenge. Because you can't, I mean, the Constitution is a broad framework of the country. You can't then, you know, start an act that we then go to ask the president to become an administrator of a particular commission. And if you begin to discuss the president, it's going to say that then the national commissioner can also come here of the police and say, can you please assist us to when I'm not around and I get some other people to be appointed. That president is going to become very costly in how we want to administer. I mean, each one, you see. So the Public Service Commission, I mean, really, where I see that I'm not yet hearing and being convinced of why should the president get involved in every time when you want to find an acting support. Now, he's a minister. Why do you run over the minister and using the president, I mean, of trying to get the president to get involved in administering the Public Service Commission? Commission. That would really have a strong and a deep bearing on the Constitution and how do we do that, you see, and what type of a president do I speak here. So the conceptualization of of the approach that the Public Service Commission is asking us to reflect on here might be very problematic. It might not help, and it might not, might just refuse our president to become an administrator of the Public Service Commission, which goes way, way, way off the tangent of the people who find their appointment of the commission of government and the involvement of the president. But to begin facing issues in our infrastructure, whether it's the minister doesn't even get involved, that also sets a very bad precedent. So ministers are able to oversee, I mean, committees and structures that have been created under their powers. If even the mere appointment of a deputy was your absent, has to come to the president, I'm not sure that would be the good precedent that we want to set for our country. I don't find that we have not put the money to the real administration. If he's involved in an accident, what will we do? For the president. The president travels around the world, what is to do, the commission has to wait for him. Then you are holding accountable. You're telling us that the president is not around in the country, can you wait for him? Parliament wants you. What must parliament not do? It has great tensions within the law. I mean, it's going to create tensions within the elements of accountability. Who's then, who to whom are you going to be accountable? You're soliciting the money to get up to be accountable. So leading to the president. I don't think our system can get to that level where it allows that the president not be the sole president to oversee the Public Service Commission.
I'm trying to build on what Honorable Lundell said. Maybe that's a great definition of what happens. So just contemplating a situation that if you are not here, we as members of the committee would amongst ourselves as appointed chapters in the day without a seamless process of outsourcing that to somebody else. What is the difficulty in doing that here? Can we maybe explain the complexities of these issues? Are they so complex that they cannot amount to commissioners? What are the legal barriers to doing that? How you know, the quorum, for example, if you need encouraging the absence of the chair of the legislature, that the member person can amount to the girls to chair. Or are the difficulties with linking that up with the provincial commissioner that are there because they don't have jurisdiction to be appointed as chair? Because what are the barriers to that simple established law, which I think is really an established principle throughout the world, and as opposed to what I see now to micromanagement of the PSD by the president, that kick him out of a meeting and there's a person acting chair, there's six of us present, chairs with the chair, not chair, so which one amongst us. It could just maybe be taken through the rationale behind, so maybe we can fix it, we can own it, but to understand now I find it very difficult. It becomes a long-winded Bible or whatever.
As I said before, we sent the minister to look at the amendment, I thought that it was just an administrative coordinating amendment, which there is no need to fix. But also, probably when the PSA responds to the questions of other members, then I'll have a benefit because I left out the chance for that, I will have that. But also, Chair, for your good stuff. Also, we thought that allowing the minister to have time to engage with amendments, also other things that the PSC was going to empower the minister with information. At one stage, a commissioner from housing, I think, yes, there was the issue of teeth and cut teeth and all those things, but also at the end of the day, we were comfortable that we have raised it to the minister, because that also prompted that statement. Because in like the earlier presentation that was received in terms of the PMP, in terms of the secretary, the time you come with a more, I don't want to say meaningful, but only incorporate other areas of concern that you raised in the previous issues with the PSC and also taking a response with the PSC. The other one, in terms of also the renewal and non-renewal, I think somewhere from picking up on the point that the Honorable Ramon raised in terms of that, what has also become subjective in terms of renewal and non-renewal is that there's no assessment provision of commissioners. I'm not too sure, but somebody needs to inform me, but from where I'm sitting, I think there's no assessment that makes it then even the portfolio committee also to make a sound recommendation of the renewal. Also, what basis is going to be subjective? I know Minister probably will like, because they a little bit is the goal is within BPFA, but also in terms of its mandate outside that, because its own independence. Probably also there's something that's linking there that needs also to allow the Minister to address the concern that other honorable members in terms of that dignity. Honorable His Excellency took us to the name of the chair. I hope also what context the amendment was not an interpersonal relationship with the commissioner and staff. Thank you. Can you also explain the, or maybe not just for us, chapter 10, section 9? I see section 9 says an act of parliament must regulate the procedure for the appointment of commissioners, and then why do you want the commission to do that as a state parliament? Because the constitution is, if I'm reading it right, it needs authority of parliament to do that. Yeah. And then section 10. How is it different from what you are proposing? Because in terms of the constitution, a commissioner is appointed for a term of 5 years, which is renewable for one additional term only, and not be a woman or can also explain. So those are the two amendments that you are trying to change in terms of the constitution. How is that going to be different? Any other?
Chairperson, I see on the website that the position of Deputy Chair of the Public Service Commission seems to be vacant. Since when has that been vacant? Thank you.
Let me ask you on that one. Remember earlier on I said that the commission has requested a meeting with the portfolio committee to discuss the public service commission institutional practice review. Yes? You're pressing a list to request for that. Can we talk? That's the second question this morning you asked about. No, not the amendment one. Something related to the DG, the vacancy of the DG, and now you asked about the deputy. Let's pass that call for that meeting. Let's now focus only on the amendment. Okay.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members, for the question. Let me start that with the one that I raised by Mr. Francis earlier, relating to the process as we see it. Madam Mr. President, I think I would like to agree with the Secretary next to you that this bill was given to the Speaker and was put in the hands of the Speaker and the parliamentary processes, which led to the bill being tabled here in September. The bill was not withdrawn by the Minister of Public Service Administration. It was only given time to familiarize with its content since he was recently appointed. And therefore, the bill is properly before Parliament. And we have done the advertisement and all the processes that needed to be done in consultation with Cabinet and the President, which has required. and I understand the same processes that have been followed by the minister from his side in being this year. So basically, the bill is still in the parliamentary process. So it should follow those parliamentary processes. I understood also there was hearings that were handled by the parliament at the time to deal with those amendments. So that is, and we also received some comments also from the parliamentary members on how the bill should be handled. So we don't see this as a new process and the reintroducing the bill that was before. It's a continuous process that's within the hands of parliament. And the checking of the bill is a matter that is handled between the state advisors and parliament, as well as 75 or 76 years. And I think all processes then we leave them in parliament. Now the bill is properly before parliament. On the issue of the chairperson and the duty, I think members, this is not really with the minutia of chairing a meeting and of dealing with day-to-day activities of the chairperson or a deputy. Qualitative basis, if you look at Section 11 of the Public Service Commission Act, it allows us to have rules and regulations about how we operate. The same body, any body, in fact, will do. So we have, and the same testing allows us to delegate the commissioner and so on. So all conveners of meetings are said, officials and commissioners are delegated, they are aware. The chairing of our meetings and the convening of our meetings are all governed by our rules. And certainly, I mean, commissioners cannot expect that because I'm disclosed to chair the commission. I uphold, like they were giving example, trying to go to the table. Therefore, there's a scheme. The commissioner next to me and so on, including the team, they are already coming forward with authority to do this in this matter. But this deals with a fiscal matter. And I must say that it does, of course, deal with the issues of, for instance, of labor relations. And it also deals with the issues largely related to temporary absence or inability of a chairman or a deputy to deal with that. Because what we must also remember, when the deputy and the chairperson are allowed the operation of the lawyer in terms of the vaccine here to actually check if one is not present, so that is not taken away. But we're dealing here with a situation, for instance, where for a long time a person might actually be required to take leave because it is part of that. And the chairperson and the deputy is not there. It's also related to the pressure that there is in the practice also of the end of term. Which might happen that the chairman and deputy is end of term at the end. The question is to the chairperson before I leave today, say tomorrow, I'm designating this commissioner to be now the acting chairperson. The issue really is the Section 5 of our Act requires that the president, as this has already happened numerous times, designates who is the acting, who designates the chairperson and the deputy. That's the power. The question that we had, I mean, we had this with the president in practice when both commissioners came and the chairpersons came and at the same time and were not there. And also when commissioner came was renewing acting as chairperson and was for a longer time when they had to take leave or is not available for a longer time. So what would happen in those cases that when we ask the office of the presidency, for instance, for an acting authority, because we interpret it specified by requiring that the president designates, therefore any residual power to appoint an acting person would fall with the presidency. Because as we also remember, the appointment of commission, any other commission that required, is actually a function of the president, not largely as the head of the government, but as the head of the government. And then we requested the president said, in the law, it's stated, it was disciplined. It has not been given expressly the power to do an appointment. So that is what, that's what we did, and we did these practices and exercises. That brought the ALA proposal to say, okay, the secretary might do it, and then the security might do it, and then finally, we also put members themselves can do it. But even this portfolio committee, some of the members were actually very uncomfortable with members of the committee, because they felt that this was being lowered to a lower extent to put the signal that is attached to it, we the chat and get to this in the present. And therefore, the ritual, our life with it. And now we are invited only to explain it clearly on those chief areas. Of course, the minister will be involved, and the minister is the president to do that. My point is not on a professional matter. Now, in terms of telecommunication and technical communication, you don't need me in the office to approve things. If my office sends me, even by SMS or by computer, I'm able to approve. So, in many things, we are able to approve, we are able to communicate, even the law requires that an SMS is a legal communication. So it's no longer necessary today as to where you sit for you to approve things. So it's not really to ask the president, but it's actually to take the constitutional principles. That commission, especially independent commission, are headed by his excellency to the president. And this act is regulating those appointments that are required to the president to submit among the commissioners, the chair president, the chair president. There is no function to deal with that, otherwise it is the presidency. And they require that if there's a need to appoint an exit outside the designation, then the honorable president would have to deal with that matter. But really on very rare and very critical areas, but also indicating that that's how the committee should actually go. The other consultation is a term of art in our constitutional framework, in the sense that it really means that when the honorable president intends to renew the term of a commissioner, would consult, would indicate that whether he intends to renew it or he does not intend to renew it, and ask the National Assembly through the Speaker for his or her views. And the National Assembly, of course, as usual, has its own process about how to deal with any required advice or comment on the advice of the presidency. And they would therefore send a recommendation to the president to say, for your decision, this is how we feel, and this is how we should be handled. And it would therefore basically go with the feeling of National Assembly in terms of a recommendation, how that process is dealt with. The Constitution and the rules of the National Assembly cover how the Speaker should handle that process and where to refer that. It's not a matter that should be addressed by this legislation. Number of 90 days, yes, I'll dealt with that. There's a question from the honorable member from the ASF. How long should the person act? There are two things that it does not really affect that. Because if, like, the person, for example, in case the person was on leave for those days, that person went up there, that continued. And again, if the person, let's say, is sick or unable now, has to make that report at all. As you said, the president, under Section 5, has two options, which now gives him two tools. He can either dismiss somebody as soon as possible. Like the minister, as they said, the president can take the dismiss a chairperson among the commissioners and can designate the chairperson among the commissioners. And now there's also a tool. In the time that they are designated, he can also appoint an acting chairperson. So this is actually giving the president to that. It is not necessarily forced in every sense, but if he wants to wait for the kilowatt to apply his mind about or to check the issues that he wants to check on the commission and so on before he does that. It provides a recognition of the presidency in carrying out his constitutional function as the head of state in appointing members of commissions, including those constitutional institutions that are in our constitution. The honorable member, minor matters that I just want to briefly deal with. I don't know if there were the ones that were related to the chief of the commission and other concerns that were raised. You wanted to address that?
Through you, honorable chair. Not necessarily sure, but I wanted to get a sort of comfort head. Apply your mind on that matter so that it doesn't repeat itself to the
later. Yeah, plan that because it has been played several times and we will address it. The bill has had a long history in its formulation and encompassed a number of clauses that were involved in it. One of those clauses was our functionality in the area of local government, which is not covered. That matter could only be related to the Public Administration and Management Act. and after consultation and audit, the law that was passed by Parliament did not extend those functions of local government to the public service commission, and did not change what they affected to be a public service from myself. And therefore, we could not amend Section 2 of our Public Service Commission Act, which requires that the act is applicable to national provincial, which is the current commission in terms of Section 1 and 7 of the Constitution of the public service. And therefore, we could not amend that because there is no law that has redefined public service for me, but the public service to local government, except extending the Northern Standards and values and principles. So that is why the issue of local government, as the Portfolio Committee said, I thought it has to deal with it. There was another area which was felt that the area relating to the other the functions of the Commission are not strong enough, they are noticed, and therefore recommendations must be made finding and to apply with that. We discussed this with ministers, and we also looked at the law itself. Because I've qualified that this is not really a matter if we look at the law properly that requires any such amendment. First and foremost, when we look at the Constitution, Section 196(4)(d) of the Constitution allows the Commission to give direction in a number of areas within the Constitution. And if you look at the Public Service Act, Section 5, Section 8 of the Public Service Act says that those directives, when they are given by the Public Service Commission, are qualifying after today. And therefore, we do have the system. The second element, which is an important one, which the Honourable Minister has already indicated, Section 1 of the Public Service Act, say any explanation by the Minister can include any recommendation by the Public Service. So in an instance where we feel that there's something that, for example, is going wrong with the Public Service, we can approach the Honourable Minister, make recommendations, and once the Minister makes that explanation, if we're in agreement, that is fine. Of course, we have the Portfolio Committee, which has always been on our side, because they are accountable to the terms of the Constitution. Well, things might have changed in terms of that instance, but the terms of the Constitution is accountable to the Portfolio Committee to support us. And therefore, we really, after discussing that, we felt there is really no such concern in terms of that. The one that we will dealt with it's another that we also dealt with. It's a difficult one. The question of assessment. Let me admit, because when we read this area, I'm a master of the we read this area in terms of the requirements of the Public Service Commission. First and foremost, also to indicate to the members. We are coming to the Portfolio Committee, we are not coming to the Directorate of Economic Independence. So, and therefore, we cannot be accessed by either the Honourable Minister or the President, but we can report to the involved in our proceeding. We are accounts to the Portfolio Committee. And there are two arguments that have been made about it. In terms of what we are required to do in the Commission, if you look at the certification judgment, for instance, he said this is the commission that operates collectively and has joint responsibility. So there's no individual performance in terms of the functioning. We act as a commission collectively, even the provincial commissioners, although slightly appointed differently by being nominated as a person, are bound by the norms and standards and the policies of the commission, which acts collectively. So our reports are approved collectively. Our work is delegated to groups of commissioners to work collectively. And the assignments at that time, individual commissioners are required in terms of the public rules for reporting within the commission. And therefore, if there is a commissioner who is not performing well, we have a duty as a commission, or even as a commissioner that is sick, we have a duty either to raise it with the directive in terms of the procedures to take, or we have a duty to report to Parliament. And that is what members also must not say. They are two processes. If you want to remove a commissioner, you can remove that commissioner anytime the procedure is made out. So the renewal should not be used as an issue to deal with the question of removal. Because the constitution is here and it falls here. And finally, if you are not performing of course, because we are reviewed by the committee quarterly and annually and present ourselves the committee will provide that to its attention, and he can check about that. So we feel we would be in a test. One of the things that we should check in Madam Chairperson to deal with this, because at the end of the day, there was the issue that our report is one of the things that I'm still intending to raise with you, which we'll bring in the commission. We would like, and we assume that that has happened, because it is still with the assessment, because to a certain extent, my appointed and national attend the open process for the portfolio committee. So we would like some of our special annual report that we made here in terms of section 196(4) of the Constitution E, that at least indicates the National Assembly for adoption, because then it indicates whether the Commission is performing or not performing our function in dealing with that. But it's a matter that is very important, that it's one of the things that when we wanted to come on social review today with that. The question, Chairperson, that you're raising of the regulation of the appointment, and the Act, the Constitution, as you say, requires that the regulation of the appointment must stand by an Act or of Parliament. And if you look at Section 196, it says the Commission will also be regulated by an Act of Parliament. And the Act of Parliament is the Functional Service Commission Act of 1997. So when you are amending that Act, you are actually regulating the function and the appointment of the Commission in terms of that Act. So that is why we are here talking. And the defense of what the renewal actually means. The practice that has happened now is that we are actually in contract for 5 years, which the Constitution says is renewable for possibly another 10. The problem that has been happening, Madam Chairperson, is that actual Parliament wait for that contract to last. And once you let that contract last, therefore it's not a renewal, it's a reappointment or an appointment at first. So we are actually saying now, please, if you intend to renew, elect somebody before the term ends. The period must not be long, too long. And if you don't want to renew, please let the person know also, so that they can do that. And that is really what it means. It says that it's not a new appointment. I know the Honourable Minister has not been asking to renegotiate new terms of appointments and so on. As a commission, they appoint us on the same kind of commission. And that is why, if I don't remember from the ESF, we have the 90-day period. That 1998 is actually taken simply from what happened with HODs in the public service. Because if you look at the public service regulations and also the academic rules, it requires that the minister intends to renew or not renew his or her DG must at least notify the minister of public service and regulations before 3 months expires, and that must discuss with HOD 2 months before that, so that can be taken as a renewal of review. We also don't want a term that is going to be long. If you are going to have this discussion 6 months before, the problem you have is that if a member knows that it's not renewed, you might have similar cases of a member now not interested to participate and even problem. So you want to keep it short enough, but also decent enough for a person to also know their future in time as to what is going to happen. So that is really what first. As part of the commission, the 14 commissioners, we are, thank you very much, Chairperson. For the first time now, we are in full complement. We've discussed this bill, although we know it's not our bill, it's Parliament and the Minister's bill. And the cases that have been done, we have been consulted, and we are related with the process that has happened, and we can handle everything.
Just one comment. Well, the Minister is not being marginalized, because whenever commissioners are affected, we generate suspicions. And not only that, not just one thing. It seems like it doesn't happen. Now, just to respond to the chair about the renewal of the contract, I'm not opposed to it. We're in conversation. We are challenging them to the dangers of having to be subjected to the salaries of other people. When they may, I was saying, I'm ready to take their things, performing the incomes, because if they become part of the surveillance and so on, that there might be positive compromises. That's all I was. I was just alerting them to that.
Thank you.
the whole view that it does not bring other institutions, but as to why there is an opportunity in the, in the process itself.
Thank you.